But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Now on the same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went into and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, He showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I see I am sending you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
Let us join together in song as we turn to number 265, "Come Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain." And we will sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Please stand if you can. Welcome each one of you here this morning to our celebration of Easter. As a church, we have walked through the 6 weeks of Lent, and this past week, we remembered the events of the Holy Week as we gathered on Good Friday. We shared communion together, and we were reminded through scripture and songs of the events leading up to Jesus' death. What a contrast today from the last 6 weeks, and especially from what we had here on Good Friday. You may have noticed that each Sunday there was less and less up here. Everything was getting more minimal. Things were taken away from the sanctuary. The symbols that we had before of the layers of the earth and going deeper is gone. The trees and plants got less, until what we had left on Palm Sunday were the palm branches. Until what remained on Good Friday was the empty cross and our elements for communion, the bread and the cup. On Good Friday, the mood was somber. We were more contemplative. We listened and we were invited to be quiet. But today, all of this, the color and the growth and so much else, symbolizes new life and renewal and hope. I wish you could see what I can see up here. This is a table laden with color, with food, and the riches of life. It's a banquet, and I think it's set for about eight, so maybe there's enough to share later. So it's appropriate that the Easter season is in spring. It's a time of new growth, and my prayer is that each of us may experience some of the new beginnings this Easter, and new growth, new ways of understanding each other, being tolerant of our differences, gaining new ways to show love and kindness as we come in contact with and see each new day as an opportunity to practice what it is that Jesus taught. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I know you wanted to say it. So, Christ is risen. The focus statement for today is, as in the bulletin, is a rich, we have seen the Lord. A rich feast has been prepared for all peoples on the mountain of God. Like Mary, Jesus calls us each by name into abundant life. Just want to mention one thing that the song that is later, that it's a song, Sing the Journey. It says Ken and Marion, but it's actually a recording, and it's Ken and Marcia singing that song later on. I'd invite you to turn to your bulletins, actually, as we do our call to worship together, as we've been doing each Sunday, and we'll read it as it is printed. And while it was still dark, Mary found the light. Mary stood weeping and saw angels, but did not recognize Jesus. But when Jesus calls our name, then we recognize the way, the truth, and the life. And then there was feasting. And there is feasting to come. God will make for all peoples a feast of rich food and well-aged wines, and will wipe away tears from all faces. It will be said on that day, "This is our God, for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice. There is peace by Jesus Christ." Hold firmly to the good news, which you received, in which you stand, through which you are being saved. Let's open the gates of righteousness to enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. Let's pray together. Loving God, we gather in this way here this morning to be the church. We come celebrating Easter and the message of hope this season brings. God of all life, we thank you for the signs of your love that are around us. for sun and the warmth of spring, and for all that we anticipate coming to life. There is so much that is eagerly waiting. We praise you for the wisdom with which you care for each of us. You know us each by name, and you love us unconditionally, and you want nothing but expansive growth for each of us. Continue to have patience with us as we grow into a more fuller understanding of your love and our own capacity to love. In your name, together as one, we pray. Amen.
Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, from the New International Version. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead, and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Would you please turn in your hymnals to number 273, "Low in the Grave He Lay," and we'll sing all three verses. Please stand if you can. Thank you for that wonderful singing. We will now turn to number 275. Just flip on a couple of pages, and we will sing "Lift Your Glad Voices." Lift your glad voices. There we go, this misprint. Lift your glad voices.
Thank you.
as you'll see at the bottom there, I'll just read what is printed there. As we gather this morning to celebrate the risen Christ, we also gather to pray with Hanley Mennonite Church as they worship together for the last time today as a congregation. May the same peace of Christ that was present with the disciples on that first Resurrection Sunday be with the Hanley Mennonite Church as they close and entrust God for their future. For any of you who are at home and wondering, we're about 40 people gathered here this morning. In fact, I think we are 40. I might not be able to see who's all here. It might look like empty pews to you, but we have a good contingent of people here this Sunday morning. Let's bow for prayer. God, we're gathered here today as your children, and we bring our thoughts, all of them, our happiness, our sadness, our aching joints, our energetic legs, our racing minds, and our thoughtful hearts, and we've come here as we are, and you've said we're welcome. God, this morning we want to think about the people who are part of our church family who are not here with us in this building, living in seniors' homes, studying in other cities, and those worshiping together with us in their homes. May they each feel your presence in a special way this morning. Protect and guide them. And we pray that they will each be a light wherever they are. We pray a special blessing for Lois and Tromhan, and for Lois's family, as they mourn the loss of Lois's father. As they grieve together this loss, we pray your peace and blessings for each of them. We know that you will be with them throughout this journey of remembering and sharing stories and holding each other close. We pray this morning for those grieving the loss of loved ones, learning to live with the space that's left behind. For the young adults that are finishing off another school year, we pray your blessing and wisdom for our leadership team and for the Camp Elam board members as they make future decisions. We pray for our local church, the Community Baptist Church here in Swift Current, and for the light that they are in our community. We pray for the larger church, First Mennonite Church in Saskatoon. We pray for the church workers farther away ministering in China. And this morning we especially pray for Hanley Mennonite Church as they meet to worship as a congregation for the last time. Be with them on their continuing journey. God, we've gathered here on this Easter morning, a celebration of hope and new life. We've been on a journey during these past weeks trying to gain kind of a better understanding of your son's journey to the cross, and as we live our lives, as we work at jobs, as we connect to those around us, we ask for a deeper understanding of your love and how we should respond to one another, that we might be lights of hope and joy to others who struggle. God, for those who are tired and for those whose minds are weary, we ask for renewed strength and healing and hope. May we each be open to be your servants, to be channels for your love, and to be aware of the needs around us. God, as you walk with us during this season following Easter, May we recognize the light of your spirit within ourselves and also be open to see that light within each person we come in contact with each day. May we truly be Easter people. May we truly discover new birth and transformation, and together we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I would ask you now to turn in your hymn books to number 263, The Strife is O'er. Number 263. And we are going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4. So you'll not sing verse 2. That's probably easier to remember. Please stand if you can. Number 263.
Good morning. The reading is from the New International Version, Gospel of John, chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have yet ascended to the Father. For I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of John. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God.
And if you said, "Just a minute, didn't we hear that before?" You're right. You did. Each of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, had their own version, or have written their own version of the story. And this morning, you've heard three of those versions, similar but different. In the beginning, the universe is dark and cold, and the Spirit hovers and broods. In the beginning, God says, "Let there be light." In the beginning, the Word is spoken, and light and life comes into being. In the beginning, God looks at all that he makes and sees that it is good. Soon after the beginning, God hands the light to human beings, to Adam and to Eve. And they hand the light on to their children, to Cain, who turns from the light, and to Abel, who lives and dies in the light, and to all their children. And their children hand the light on to their children, to Noah, who lives when the world is turning dark. The world is gray with cloud and flood water. But God sets a rainbow in the sky to remind them of the light. And Noah hands the light to his children, and they hand it on to their children, who hand it on to their children, who hand it on to their children. Until one night, God speaks to a man in the dark of the desert. "Look at the stars. Look at the stars. Look at the stars, Abram. Take the light to a new homeland. You shall be Abraham, and your wife shall be Sarah." Abraham takes the light, and he gives it to Isaac, who gives it to Jacob, who gives it to Joseph, who gives it to the Hebrews who live in Egypt. But Egypt becomes a dark place for God's people. And God speaks to another man in the desert. The light becomes a burning bush. And Moses approaches and hears God's voice. "Take this light to my people. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go." So Moses takes the light to God's people and leads them into the desert, where they wander for 40 years until God leads them to the promised land. And the light passes to Joshua, to Deborah, to Gideon, and on, until it passes to Samson, who is blinded, but he still trusts the light. The light passes to Ruth, the Moabite, who hands it to Obed, who hands it to Jesse, who hands it to David. And the light passes to Hannah, who gives it to Samuel, who sees the light in David and names him king. And David passes the light to Solomon, and Solomon passes the light on to generations of kings. But the kingdom begins to grow dark, so God hands the light to the prophets, to Elijah and Elisha, to Jeremiah and to Micah, to Hosea and to Amos. Through invasion and suffering, the light does not go out. Then an angel appears to Mary and passes the light to her, and creation holds its breath. And an angel appears in a dream to Joseph and passes the light to him, and creation holds its breath. And in the dark of a stable in the town of Bethlehem, the light is given to the world. And the light shines in the darkness. For the light and life of the world is destined to enter the darkest darkness. And it seems for a while that the darkness has won. But in the darkest hours, just before sunrise, darkness gives way to a new dawn. And the light is passed to the disciples, to Peter, to Mary, to the 12, and to the 3,000, who see the light of the Spirit's coming and believe. And the light appears to Saul, and Saul becomes Paul, and Paul takes the light to the nations, and some take this light into desert places, and some to the east, some to the south, some to the north. The light is placed into hearts and hands. The light passes to those who see the dignity of human beings and work to bring justice to the poor, help for the orphan and widow, and freedom to those who are slaves. The light travels to new nations, to us. And now, the Spirit hovers over our hearts, inviting us to carry the light in this day and in this world. Invites more to be aware of hurt and hunger and to still carry the light. Even though there's different points of view, and understanding takes work. And letting go of our own way is at times painful, the invitation still remains to continue to carry the light of Christ into the darkness. To be an Easter people is not necessarily to hold certain traditional beliefs about the Easter event. Rather, to be an Easter people is to have made the resurrection experience so personal, so much a part of the frame of mind in which life is carried out, that new possibilities are constantly opened up for persons around us. It is to recognize yourself and others as human, and therefore imperfect, with personal failings and weaknesses. But to realize that these weaknesses do not define the boundaries of life. Life is not to be defined by its failures and mistakes, which are in the past, but by its possibilities, which lie in the future. The past is already crumbling to dust. The present, even now, disintegrating before our eyes. But the future is wide open. The future is the arena in which God is calling us to be more responsive to life than we have ever been before. We make our response in the present moment, deciding in this instant that's always disappearing before our eyes what our future will be, and taking the action that will shape the future we have chosen. Past mistakes are therefore irrelevant to those who are defined by the future possibilities, who know that they are always in process of becoming more than they have been. An Easter people is a people who have found ways to make real a full range of possibilities for one another. They embrace the individual, absorb his inadequacies and frustrations, draw the poison from the hurts and humiliations of this life, and set him on his feet again to be what God intended him to be, namely a person who can live this same redemptive style of life towards others. And while this redemptive action is felt outside the community, its full impact is experienced by those who become part of the redemptive body, who themselves come to be caught up in being an Easter people. They know the experience of resurrection because they are part of it, and say with understanding, it is in us that Christ is risen.
I'd ask you now to turn to our hymn of response, number 269, Thine is the Glory. Please stand if you are able, number 269.
In the early light, urgent feet pound along the path towards the room. He is alive, they say. The tomb is empty and the room is full of wonder. And the feasting, the deep nourishment and knowledge of a risen Christ begins. May we receive this news once again with a call to deep living. Go into this day forever changed. Amen.
Now, if you would turn to 280, we are going to sing Christ the Lord is Risen Today. If you're like me, this was the one I was waiting for. We are going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Number 280.
Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. 118. Take a deep breath.